Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Campaign Creations Podcast. I'm Iskatumisk, and joining me this evening is Labyrinth. Man, it's been a while, hasn't it? A lot has happened since our last cast, back when the world was young. There's probably a lot of potential viewers now, either coming from YouTube or from wherever else, and this may end up being the first podcast they get to hear from us, seeing as the last one was such a long time ago. So perhaps we should give a brief introduction to Campaign Creations, what it's about, and perhaps ourselves, before jumping into the main subjects of today's discussion. So, Lav, who are you and what is the CC site all about anyways?
Well, I'll talk about Campaign Creations first. Basically founded around the year 98, maybe 99, circa around that time. Circa and around that time mean the same thing. Anyway, the main purpose of Campaign Creations was, at the time, and still is to this day, just to create a single player experience, sometimes co-op, that just engulfs an individual player into a separate universe or continuation of the universe of the games, StarCraft, Warcraft, and eventually StarCraft 2, as more projects are being planned and produced. Over the years, it's evolved. We've accepted new games, dropped games, started supporting modding like StarCraft Team Fortress, basically we're slowly trying to become a hub for any creators and would-be creators to find a source of more passionate creation in terms of modifying the game and its contents in regards to the single player experience, where you can expand a lot further than the limitations that multiplayer in all three Blizzard's real-time strategy games have limited us to with their rules and regulations. So basically it's just a place you can browse very, very high quality campaigns to expand your gameplay experience. Now, as for myself, I started getting into all of this around 1999 when I started my own site. Based off, when I first found out about Campaign Creations, I went off and did my own thing, similar to Campaign Creations, and then through various sites and mergers back in the day when we were younger, I eventually ended up landing a position here as co-administrator with a former administrator of the site, and then eventually became administrator, which I guess is bittersweet, since it's a lot of hard work to keep the site running. And the funny thing is I wanted to be here a long time ago, back in the year 1999, but just as a general staff member, and now here I am sitting as the administrator and basically the owner of the website.
Campaign Creations, that name has quite a bit of weight to it, though we've definitely seen better days. Still content coming out of the site. What do you see coming out of Campaign Creations in the near future?
Mostly what we'll be seeing coming out of Campaign Creations will be sequels. If all goes as planned, we'll be seeing actually, this isn't a sequel, it is a remaster of Legacy of the Confederation by the Oracle, with a small sequel included inside the project. However, this of course will be the Oracle's remastering to how he originally wanted the campaign to play out. However, aside from that, we have even other famous names working on projects as well, including Dessler, and maybe, who knows, we might have a few other ones in the progress, such as perhaps Gemini, or creator of Life of the Marine, or Razor Claw X, creators of way too many campaigns to even mention. Besides our current staff, we do have additional outlooks on potential projects that could be brought on board if we find the passion in there that we have with the current staff that we have. The thing about having projects on Campaign Creations and is that most are invite only. We don't really accept projects into the circle of Campaign Creations unless the project is fully completed. If it's a project in progress, chances are we're not going to take you in. However, if we spot a project that's in progress that has had substantial development over time and we see the dedication and passion that our current staff has produced, you'll likely be hearing from us. In other side projects, other things you'll be seeing is right now you'll notice the forum has a much more advanced and pretty layout in comparison to our main website. That will be changing soon as our website is actually intended to look similar to our forum, a little more advanced. And that has been a very long work in progress and is a one-man job that I have been doing myself, besides the actual graphical artwork, which of course was done by Joel, our famed graphics department. And as soon as I have it all coded out and bug-free, it'll be beautifying the site once more.
This campaign business is quite a bit beyond the scale of all those individual maps you encounter on Belnet, isn't that right?
Absolutely. You'll find most of these campaigns are nowhere near the limitations of one single map. I believe in only one instance, two instances if you count the prequel, did we actually have a campaign that used one, maybe two maps. Most campaigns range from at least, you know, five maps. Most are actually more along the lines of 20 to 30 maps, and they are basically an identical experience to the original StarCraft campaigns or Warcraft campaigns. Some of them even go as far as including voice work, music work, custom models and portraits, custom graphics and spells, and you know, it's just like playing a completely new game almost.
Now myself, personally, perhaps you recognize my voice from StarCraft II casting, perhaps from something else. My background originated in creating Total Conversions for StarCraft back in the year 2000, and all the way up until 2009 when I released my last major StarCraft conversion, which was Armageddon Onslaught. I think you'll find that despite my many years of modding Blizzard games, I'm probably going to be the most anti-Blizzard person you'll ever meet. Many people know me for being a dick, an honest dick in my defense, but I've had a fair share of experience with other titles as well, again focusing very much on Total Conversions. So, Campaign Creations as a website, while it presents the title Campaign Creations very much at the same time, also has a lot of talent in other regions as well, in creating mods and in creating the various aspects of these projects. As Lav mentioned, voice work, graphics work, all help contribute to bringing these projects to a very professional level of quality. And at least in from my experience, the majority of StarCraft campaigns that I have seen do represent a higher level of attention put into these other aspects, which, you know, perhaps in other games or perhaps in other areas, you may not see that kind of level of attention placed into them. Many of the campaigns have full voice acting for all of their dialogue as well as unit responses, and I believe some of them also have custom music created for them as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you'll see a lot of forumers or our community will partake and participate in helping each other complete, you know, their own projects by supplying voice work, sometimes giving musical ideas or actually opting to create music for people. I know you yourself have created music for various projects in the past. We have other names like Gemini, Magalok have delved in creating musics. Magalok actually created an entire soundtrack for a campaign that I was working on that, like the infamous reason to quit your campaign. I lost it in a hard drive crash. But nonetheless, I mean, yes, we are basically an artist community.
I like to think that, you know, campaigns are not so much just a series of maps, but they're basically a palette for an artist to tell his story. Meanwhile, mods, or perhaps Total Conversions as they're best referred to in many instances, are perhaps more of a palette for an artist to bring his take onto the gameplay. And both of these elements very often represent, you know, entirely new stories, entirely new universes, or perhaps the artist's take on an existing universe, such as StarCraft. And these various elements, the graphics and the sounds, you'll find a lot of that on Campaign Creations at a very high level of quality, I think. I know I have, from what little I have been able to play over the years. I'll be dragging in other community members here over these podcasts to perhaps have them tell us a little bit about their projects or give their takes on specific subjects and stuff like that. You know, it's been a really long time since we did the last podcast, and there's a lot of things we could talk about, but let's talk about the here and now. What's been going on lately? Heart of the Swarm was... it was... had some new information released? What new information did they show us?
Well, actually the release was a couple days ago, and a little more while back if you count the leaked teasers from the recent press event that they had, which I was not invited to. But the information released was a very much a teaser trailer for the in that was in story mode, by the way. That just showed a short clip of Nova, Kerrigan, and Raynor. And aside that, the other teaser that was released was a gameplay teaser for Heart of the Swarm, which showed the very different gameplay we'll be experiencing in comparison to Wings of Liberty. Aside that, you know, a couple still screenshots from the gameplay teaser that we saw that showed a lot of robust adjustments. As I said, in terms of the gameplay, you'll be seeing a lot more Warcraft 3 style gameplay, I suppose you could say, which, you know, some people frown upon it, some people find it amazing. I am neither here nor there, and I know you are actually on there on one side, aren't you?
Well, I remember them talking a little while back about having a campaign that allowed you to use heroes in a much more significant manner than in the Wings of Liberty campaign, and it does make sense for them to do that in the Heart of the Swarm expansion as opposed to Legacy of the Void, because Legacy of the Void will be the third and final campaign, and I imagine they will probably shift more back to a RTS macro-styled gameplay. I like to think that Wings of Liberty, most of the missions in Wings of Liberty do not really bring the player into the scale of the game that the game can be with, you know, like 200 foot armies constantly clashing each other, managing multiple bases, etc. like this. I think that Heart of the Swarm is indeed very much a reflection upon Warcraft 3. As for my feelings on that, well, I'm neither here nor there. I think that there's going to be plenty of opportunities to take advantage of that. But from a player's perspective, I was personally not very impressed with Wings of Liberty. I felt that, you know, most of the missions weren't really that demanding of me of a player, even on brutal difficulty. And the most fun I had in Wings of Liberty was on one of the last missions on a space platform, mind-controlling everything and just having lots of fun with multiple bases and hordes and hordes and hordes of units. So I will give Blizzard the opportunity, you know, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt to do something different and perhaps exciting with Heart of the Swarm. There's definitely a lot of things about what they have released to us that kind of, you know, make me wonder. The cinematic teaser, for example, from the story mode, it isn't really here nor there. It's just a series of images and events, and it just doesn't really seem very inspired to me. It kind of seems like that Blizzard perhaps is releasing the information a little too early. I remember them saying that after Wings of Liberty, they didn't really have much of an idea of what they wanted to do with Heart of the Swarm, so perhaps they're experimenting. I'm not really sure about that, but Heart of the Swarm will offer us as campaign creators and modders other things than just its own campaign, though. You know, the assets that come with an expansion and such like that. Because StarCraft II is split into three expansions, or three games rather, Wings of Liberty, Heart of the Swarm, Legacy of the Void, you know, two opportunities for plenty of new assets if you're not, you know, a graphics artist or whatever. And at the same time, it will also be contributing to the multiplayer aspect in their Q&A and such, and previously they mentioned that they will be adding new units to multiplayer, and apparently also considering removing units as well, citing the Overseer as one of the examples. I'm kind of curious how that's going to affect the game.
Well, yeah, you're right in terms of the, you know, for a map maker in general, the expansion is a godsend with a plethora of more doodads, units, textures, and sound files, and etc. that they can input into their maps. I'm sure just like when the Frozen Throne released, it would also be adding additional ability. They did mention adding support for something. I can't remember what it was right at this moment. I don't believe it was campaign support, but oh, I believe it was the possibility of co-op campaigns, but for the actual Heart of the Swarm, which, you know, I don't foresee that happening. But just like in, just like at BlizzCon last year, somebody asked, will there be support for map linking on Battle.net? And they said yes, but the question was when, and of course they didn't have an answer for that. So perhaps that's now when we'll see this. In regards to the gameplay experience of the adjusting of units, we've never seen any Blizzard game have units removed. I actually don't really foresee that happening, but, you know, personally, I hated having to micro all my, I know, not a big deal, but I hated having to micro all my overlords into overseers just for the benefit of, you know, detection. But that's just me, and I'm a very bad player, so I'm more of a creator. So I'm sure as a regular player, anybody didn't really have an issue with that. But I'm sure we're going to see an addition of probably one ground unit, one aerial unit, just like most per race, just like most expansions have given us in the past.
I know a lot of people are looking forward to the prospect of potentially getting their Lurker back or their Defiler. I'd love to see one of those return for sure.
Heart of the Defiler.
Yes, I knew you were going to say that. Heart of the Swarm, being perhaps considerably larger of an expansion content-wise than, say, Brood War was to the original StarCraft, definitely offers a lot to prospective mappers or anyone else. But despite the fact that StarCraft 2 is all new and shiny and its editor is supposedly quite powerful, I haven't really seen a lot of large StarCraft 2 projects, have we? I think there was the Rebel Yell campaign that was released a little while ago, which is a remake of the StarCraft 1 missions, or at least some of them, and there was a couple that are either in production or were attempted, but for the most part, it's just individual maps.
This is true. Honestly, the only campaign I can actually recall is Rebel Yell, as you mentioned. However, it is a simple remake of StarCraft 1 with their own adjustments and tweaks. And I don't remember if they added or plan to add multiplayer support to the maps. However, the thing about that is it's extremely basic. I mean, we're talking using triggers that you found in StarCraft 1. Really easy to do, actually. The reason we don't see more unique campaigns, I believe, is partially on the basis that it is rather difficult to create maps. You do have to have a more advanced and open mind in regards to using the trigger editor and the unit editor, especially. To some people, it'll come naturally without issue. To others, it will require a lot of practice and tinkering without question. I myself, you know, am an artist, so I found all this information to be abundant and overwhelming. So I spent a lot of time watching YouTube videos of tutorials of other people just so I can get a grasp of how the trigger editor works or how the unit editor works. I am not a programmer at all. And, you know, I plan on learning programming. However, at this moment, I don't know anything, and I am not going to sit here and wait until I take, you know, lessons to learn programming. I want to know it. I want to produce now. So, the only thing I can recommend in terms of that is to, you know, check out other people's work, open up the maps, check out videos, read tutorials. Same thing as always. You learn by experimenting. All these people didn't just know how to use it off the top of their head. If you knew Warcraft 3, you know, I heard it's a little, you know, it's a little helpful to have known Warcraft 3, but the experience in the end overall was significantly different, considering the adjustments in the unit editor and the linking in the unit editor for almost every little aspect of data. I have a feeling it's going to be a while longer, especially considering that Blizzard has stated every expansion will contain additional content for mappers, creators. I have a feeling that we're not going to see any major releases until the final expansion.
StarCraft 2 definitely seems to be hurting on the custom content department. But then again, as I recall, Warcraft 3, when Warcraft 3 was still in alpha, no one had really seen it or really had any idea of what to expect out of it. A lot of people who either were StarCraft 1 veterans or just, you know, a little late to the party, didn't really want to get into StarCraft 1, was looking at Warcraft 3 as their potential platform for creating a campaign or a mod of some nature. They looked at Warcraft 3 and were like, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be revolutionary. This is going to bring out a new golden age in our community. And then Warcraft 3 came and it went and nothing came out of it. And then now StarCraft 2 is here, and StarCraft 2 isn't young anymore. It's over a year old now. We've seen one campaign, a relatively basic campaign. There are people attempting to make campaigns, but the game is definitely having growing pains at the very least, and could potentially never even come to the level that Warcraft 3 was at worst. There's really a lot of reasons why, I think, in my opinion, that this is happening. At the very basic level of the foundations, from the very get-go, StarCraft 2 is more restricted than the other previous titles that we have dealt with. There is no native campaign support. StarCraft 2 is not really mod friendly because it's tied to Battle.net, and Blizzard will probably see anything like MPQ draft as a hack if they detect it. And the maps themselves are not locally hosted, so you have to upload them onto Battle.net if you want to play on multiplayer, if you want to distribute them, etc. And really, you could go on these different things with Battle.net 2.0, but the biggest thing is that there is no local hosting. So, just a mapper, just the individual mapper looking at StarCraft 2 as a possible platform for his project, he has to deal with the size limits of Battle.net 2.0, which, they seem big, because if you come from Warcraft 3, the map size limit is currently 8 megabytes. With StarCraft 2, there's a lot more things going on with the models and other custom content than there was in Warcraft 3, so they're going to be a lot bigger. And there's also the censorship. Surely enough, if you're at all in the get-go with StarCraft 2, you have heard of maps like Mafia and, I believe, Debates and potentially some others that, had some brush-ins with the censorship system and with the moderation in Battle.net 2.0. Names of countries and other such things are automatically censored by the uploader, and it'll just flat out refuse your map. So this on its own presents, a level of, at the very least, irritation for mappers who want to do something a little bit out of the ordinary. And that discourages mappers, I think, in addition to someone who's looking at something like perhaps a campaign that will have mature dialogue in it, or, mature elements in it. And the editor, as you were mentioning, the data editor, it's definitely very different from Warcraft 3. When beta came out, a week into beta, we were running mods on it. I enabled Lava and replaced the Lava in Lost Temple through XML changes, just to see what that looked like. And then the editor came, and I think that this one of the source of the issues with StarCraft 2 is that its data is laid out in it's across many XML files in interlinks, sometimes in not very obvious ways. So the data editor has to present this in a graphical interface. And the way it does this is not really user-friendly. I think you can have a complicated and an advanced and an extremely powerful editor, but at the same time keep it very user-friendly. So, as you were saying, you looked at the editor and you're like, oh god, what do I do? It's overwhelming, because there's just information everywhere. It's just all over the place. Nothing's really tied together, at least, obviously to a new user who's just looking at it. And I think one of the reasons StarCraft Run really owes its longevity to is the fact that, from the get-go, even the earliest and most unstable user-made tools, much less StarEdit, were, reasonably powerful, but the thing about them is that their layout was very intuitive and really invited you into just jumping into it, just changing things. And then, it, you know, as you went on deeper and deeper, things, you know, became a little bit more complicated depending on what you were trying to do. But really the layout of the editors and the way the information was presented to people is what encouraged them. And that's two major things, I think, that are really working against StarCraft II right now.
Most definitely. I mean, honestly, the most complicated thing to have learned in StarCraft Starred, it was switches. Besides that, I mean, pretty basic stuff when you think about it, especially now, this day and age. In regards to StarCraft II, I mean, they're basically throwing you all the third-party programs that we had, like MPQ Draft, Star Draft, and, you know, all that jazz straight into the editor, which makes it much more difficult to mess with. But as mentioned, I'm sure someone with a more open mind and experienced mentality could probably get a hold of it. It's only just a matter of time. And you know, overall through time, I'm sure we'll all get a better grasp of the editor just through tinkering with it. I forgot what else you were talking about. Remind me. Right before that.
I was talking about Bell and the 2.0 and the upload limits.
Oh yeah, the upload limits. That's what I was going to mention. When StarCraft 2, or sorry, when the developers mentioned multiplayer map linking, and you know, people instantly think campaigns, but in reality you also have to think, you know, size limitations. How are you going to create these overwhelmingly engulfing campaigns when you have your really minor megabyte limit that's going to prevent you from adding all that custom music, all those custom models that a user could experience in a single player experience? Because yeah, you mentioned it's a little difficult to have native campaign support, but it is possible to link the maps through some tricky moves, which basically enables us to have a full single player campaign experience, since it doesn't actually log into Battle.net. It will automatically launch the map straight through StarCraft without logging in. And this will allow you to bypass all limitations and all map publishing limitations, censorship, etc. However, the downside of this, I suppose, is that your map will never be published on Battle.net because of the limitations. Whether or not this is a good thing, it's good and bad. It depends on who you're talking to. For someone like Campaign Creations, hey, that means we get to showcase the projects ourselves. That makes us prime site for you to go visit. We'll be your database of amazing campaigns. However, then you have like the campaigns that are trying to start off and make it big. And let's just say, through revisions and constant updating, they finally make an amazing campaign, but it's been 3 years of updates since their original campaign. A lot of sites that you know, rely on quality product to get themselves somewhere are not going to pick up this campaign from the get-go, and you know, they're just going to be lost in a random site somewhere. So the issue with that is, as mentioned, is you're not on the Battle.net database to be easily discovered by users to play your campaign, which I'm sure is limiting a lot of players, I mean a lot of creators, to just focus strictly on single player multiplayer experiences on a single map.
I don't know whether I know that there was, you know, people talking about multiplayer campaigns, but speaking strictly from a single player campaign perspective, I don't think that having to rely on third-party websites is really going to change things a lot. I mean, at least for veterans like us who are used to the concept of, you know, going to somewhere outside of Battle.net to get our content or get our information. I think that as far as the updates are concerned, well, that's probably going to come down to the project management. I think that through project management, you could probably use something like an SVN. Dropbox or whatever they're called to, you know, manage your project data and stuff like that. But as far as being able to launch the campaigns, you're right, there's methods. The simplest of the methods is just have a shortcut that just, you know, points StarCraft 2 to a map, and that map can perhaps function as like a menu to loading a bunch of other different maps which you have already locally downloaded, and you'll be able to avoid those limits. Unfortunately, I think, you know, at this point, we're a year into the game, there hasn't really been a lot of campaigns. But StarCraft 1, there's still projects starting up for that. Not just from, you know, new people just trying something new, but, you know, from veterans as well. There's just mods, both mods and campaigns, and people are still making discoveries and mapping. People are still pushing forward and mapping. Do you think StarCraft 1 is going to outlive StarCraft 2?
Well, if we're talking outlive, like, you know, over a decade, if StarCraft 2 is going to survive over a decade like StarCraft 1 has, that's really hard to say, because I honestly wouldn't be surprised if within the next decade we see StarCraft 3 due to a success. And, you know, the fact that it is a different management now. They are in part working with Activision, so they are more of a business-oriented company now, as opposed to how they were a couple years ago, where they were strictly, you know, let's make something amazing and let's get it out there when we can, not immediately. Yes, you're right, we do have new members, you know, veteran members, all making projects or still working on projects, shoot, even still some updating their old projects in regards to StarCraft 1. The thing about StarCraft 1, as we mentioned before, is it's easy to work with, and a lot of people just want to push their story out there, let people experience it, and they will take the limitations of StarCraft 1 if they have to. With still yet advancements occurring in StarCraft 1, such as that you'll experience in StarCraft Team Fortress with the plugins, you'll come to realize that the limitations that we had in StarCraft 1 a couple years ago are almost all null and void. I mean, nowadays you can have a full-on replay function that functions just like being an observer in StarCraft 2. Of course, this is live, but you'll have the same information being displayed in a replay. In addition, I mean, you can have that information displaying live while you're playing, or you could even have a completely different game. You could probably make a full-on Tetris game now or something on StarCraft. I know StarCraft Team Fortress completely revamps the way StarCraft even functions by limiting the use of minerals and gas and acquiring people to conquer land to generate funds. The more land you conquer, the more funds you get. I mean, you cannot make that function extremely properly and on any map without having some sort of plugin, which is exactly what it does. You know, if we're talking about one single map, yeah, you can do that with one single map, but this allows you to do it with any map. As mentioned, I guess as I just said, the limitations of StarCraft are just shutting down, and we're being left more and more open to editing the game however we wish. It's almost becoming like just a game engine that you create your own work on if you understand how it works. While, like we mentioned before, StarCraft 2 is very overly complicated for now, and in addition, does have its limitations placed in by Blizzard.
You know, having modded Diablo 2 back in 1.08, and then again in more recent years, Diablo 2 is much the same way as well. When Diablo 2 came out, its custom content community was, as I'm told, founded largely by Diablo 1 hackers, you know, people who are used to, you know, they see the limits, and they work to break past those limits. So Diablo 2 has also evolved in much the same way, and just like StarCraft 1 with its plugin system, Diablo 2 also has a plugin system that allows things like expanded stash, greatly expanded stash at that, and bypassing hard-coded limits in the game. And StarCraft 1 is still evolving, and, you know, it remains just as easy to jump into as it's always been. And yet, you know, it comes down to the artist. Is he a really good artist? Is he a really good storyteller? He can tell the same story with StarCraft 1 that he could with StarCraft 2. You know, there's things in StarCraft 2 that you could potentially do easier than in StarCraft 1. I have talked to people who are very avid believers that StarCraft 2 is, you know, very powerful, relatively easy to jump into, and you know, I had their opinions, and they tell me what they think about it, and showing me some of the things they've shown. They show me some of the things they've done, some of which are very impressive. Vetrius, who is in here, is an individual who is fairly experienced with the data editor in StarCraft 2. But most of these people will again tell you at the same time that the layout in StarCraft 2 is still challenging to get into, especially for someone who is perhaps not very experienced in dealing with these files, but you still have access to the original XML files. I think that it's possible for StarCraft II to one day get a third-party editor that parses these XML files in a much more intelligent fashion, or potentially something that even mods Galaxy Edit and rearranges the interface. Bouncing right back to StarCraft I, you know, there's StarCraft I has a rich history in so many different ways. The professional gaming scene is full of its own drama, its own excitement, its own rivalries, its own legends. And StarCraft I's campaigns, much the same way, just in a different perspective. And, I mean, you could go on talking about that for hours and hours and hours. The subject is so in-depth, and I really think that there's a lot of things that people in this community have to share that would be useful not only to newcomers, to people who would like to learn more about the subject or protect, perhaps take their own hand at making something like this, or to existing veterans. So the purpose of this podcast is really not only to introduce people to this rich history and some of the things that have been going on or things that could potentially go on, but also to a lot of the things that work on behind the scenes. You know, it's easy to say, look at these plugins. Well, how do they work? And that's going to be one of the goals of this podcast, is to kind of really get into the mechanics and the mindset and the psychology and the design and things that go on behind the scenes. I think it's really important because, you know, this is an important stage for the community. You have a new game that has come out that offers you a lot of power, you know, maybe in a format that some people find easier to learn than others, maybe in a format that's very difficult for people to learn. But at the heart of it, it still comes down to the person behind the helm, I think, no matter which engine they're using to create their content with.
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, this is a podcast, and we're not just going to be chit-chatting every single time that we do this. I mean, we are going to have informative podcasts. We are going to have discussions with other creators and community members who will have, you know, some input, suggestions, comments, and answers to questions some people may have. Basically, we're just here to help and showcase quality content to you. I mean, that is who we are, that is what we do, and this is our hobby. And that's just basically the sum of who we are.
BlizzCon's coming up too. Will we be able to get any juicy information out of that? I think I know someone who's going there.
Yes. I know somebody who's going there too. But, luckily enough, I'm also going too. BlizzCon is coming up, and I've been there the prior couple, what is it, 3 years, I believe? 4 years. Nope, 3 years. I've been there the past 3 years. And honestly, I'm hoping they really, really step it up this time, considering the hike increase in price. Last year's also included a hike increase, and let's just say it was very subpar experience. But I believe a lot of that had to do with the fact that Heart of the Swarm was definitely not ready to be announced. I mean, we all knew it was coming, but it was definitely way too early, and StarCraft II had just released not too long prior to that point. So I'm sure they'll be stepping it up this year. A lot of my enjoyment in last year's BlizzCon was in Blizzard Dota, or as they now call it, Blizzard All-Stars. I believe that's going to be the major focus, actually. Last year, we had 4 different sections with computers everywhere that had all the custom games that they were making. And now, I'm sure there's only going to be 2 sections relative to StarCraft II. That being StarCraft II, Heart of the Swarm, and the other one being Blizzard All-Stars. So you'll be seeing me a lot in Blizzard All-Stars, since I just happen to be really good at it as of last year, considering, you know, I've only played it once. Aside that, I don't think we'll be seeing much more aside the possible release date of maybe Diablo 3. Maybe we'll hear about how StarCraft II is coming out this year and then released next year, or maybe the year after. Heart of the Swarm. That's what I meant to say, if that's not what I said. And aside that, I mean, World of Warcraft doesn't have much going for it right now. I mean, they're just releasing content patches. And I assume we're just going to see Deathwing being announced. I don't believe we'll be seeing another expansion quite yet. But I think that's something to maybe speculate on. I'm more interested in what we're going to get and those little cards that they hand us every year. Possibly a Diablo 3 beta key? That's what I'm hoping for.
I am fully expecting to see something related to Diablo 3 beta. They haven't really released a lot of information about Diablo 3 because there's not really been a lot of really key major things for them to release, I don't think. They detailed a little bit about how the skill system was going to work. They showed the Demon Hunter with the crossbows that have muzzle flashes and never need to be reloaded. And yeah, it seems like the natural progression is possibly going to be telling us the release date of the beta at least. And I very much expect those little cards you guys are going to be hoarding to have beta keys on them. If not, then I don't know, maybe a troll face or something.
Troll faces will be plentiful.
That's what I'm expecting to see. Well, that's all I have on my schedule for today. So, without further ado, here's to hoping that the podcast, you know, doesn't die off for a year and a half or 2 years or however long it has been since we did the last podcast. I have lots to talk about, and I'm sure Lav has lots to talk about in the coming podcast, and I have a long list of people I can beat up and stuff into a bag and stuff into the back of my unmarked white van and bring in for questioning. Random intervals, depending on what we're going to talk about. Lots and lots of things to talk about. I've had a lot of things to rant about. Yeah, that seems like a good time to jump ship into a vat of bubbling lard. With that final note, you know, if anyone wants us to talk about a specific subject, if anyone has any questions in regards to custom content or the website or whatever, you know, feel free to post it on our forums and consider checking it out in the next podcast. Until then, this is Casting Mask. See you guys later.
And peace out.